Bible students, let's go to the 7th chapter of Revelation and get back on that powerful account that we were dealing with when we went off of the air last week. I want to say, as you're turning to Revelation chapter 7, thank God for the responses to our series on the subject of Bible baptism. The waters of baptism were stirred. I never shared with you. I received a card from a gentleman some time back that had heard the broadcast, and he and his family were baptized down in the Delaware Bay. And then we had a baptism just 2 or 3 weeks ago. There are people out there that are concerned about doing just what the Bible says. And so what we're trying to do is not pass on to you what some denomination says, or we're not going to call the preacher and say, what does our denomination teach about this? It doesn't matter what your denomination teaches. It's a matter of what the Bible teaches. And so you better get into the Bible. Don't take your preacher's word for it. It's wonderful if he's preaching the truth, but if he's any kind of a preacher, if he's the kind of preacher you ought to be, he'll tell you to study the Bible for yourself. And in the Bible, you're not going to find faith-only salvation. As a matter of fact, you're going to find just the opposite. The Bible, the only time the King James uses the term faith-only together, it says a man is not justified by faith only, but by works. And so it's works, it's faith. And so we have a lot of denominational doctrine to cut through. We need to bury a lot of sectarian ideas and notions and just breathe the clean, free air, and let's obey the Bible and do what the Bible says, and the Bible only. In Revelation chapter 7, John saw a situation here. He saw a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing here, enough to cause goosebumps to come out on the side of his neck there on the island of Patmos, enough to cause the hair to stand up on his neck. You know, John was put on the island of Patmos as a punishment to get him away from people, to get him out of circulation, but it wasn't all negative. He had come from the water to start with. He'd been a fisherman to start with, and he was down there, had a waterfront seat, and he saw these visions coming out of the sea, and he had water all around about him. It was a hard time, but it was also a comforting time because God was with him, and God revealed to him this great multitude of the redeemed. If God revealed the multitude of the redeemed in America today, would you be among that multitude? Well, you're not going to be in that multitude with a Budweiser in your hand. I'll guarantee you, you'll not be in that multitude if you had a Budweiser in one hand, a cigarette in the other hand, and a cocktail glass in one hand, and a lottery ticket in the other hand. Friends, they're not going to be in that number. There's a lot of people that give you false hope. They claim if you are a Catholic, if you're a Protestant, or you're a good this, or you're a good that, and you pay your tithes, you're going to heaven. My friends, that preacher or pastor or whoever he is, he can't tell you whether or not you're going to heaven. Only God is going to tell you that, and that's based on whether or not you have obeyed, underline obeyed, obeyed the Bible. Here were people that had obeyed the gospel. There's that multitude among the Jewish tribes that had obeyed the gospel. Then, 9 and following, Revelation 7, 9, John saw this great multitude which no man could number. They were praising God. Remember, those created beings fell on their faces before God. It's wonderful to fall on your face before God. And it's glorious how they were praising God. In Revelation 7, 12, the Bible says, saying, here's what they were saying, quote, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. They weren't saying blessing and power to the economy, blessing and power to evolution, but blessing and power to God, blessing and power to Jesus Christ. Glory to Him and honor to Him. My wife and I were on her way for breakfast the other day, and we saw a lady in the very prime of life, and you could see that glamour was on her mind. And I told Gyneth, there's a lot of these people, you couldn't knock that out of their heads with a 20-pound sledgehammer. They have glamour on their mind. They have sex on their mind. They have beauty on their mind. But there'll come a time when that left side of their mouth is drooped down by a stroke and they can't get up or down without help. They'll forget about glamour and maybe they'll start thinking about Christ, the one they should have started thinking about years ago and telling their children about Christ. All right, they were giving praise to God, Revelation 7 and verse 12. And now we have a question here in verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? The Bible is saying here, after this great vision was witnessed, after this great scene was witnessed, one of the elders standing there saying, Who are these people? Who are these people in white robes, and where did they come from? Listen to this in verse 14. And I said unto him, Sir, you know. He said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are the ones that had repented and been baptized for the remission of sins. That's when the blood of Jesus washed away their sins. That's the only place the blood of Jesus washed away their sins, when they repented and were baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And then that blood continued its power to take away their sins when they prayed after repenting. Once you become a Christian by repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ, then you don't go back and get baptized every time that you sin. The blood has been applied to your life. You can go back and you can use that blood, contact that blood, ask God for forgiveness. How many times after you're saved do you go to God asking for forgiveness? Do you remember when the Apostle Peter came to Jesus with that question? He said, Lord, how many times should I forgive someone till seven times? Should I just forgive my neighbor seven times? Jesus said, No, Peter, not seven times, 70 times seven. Well, some of you out there think, well, that's going to take care of me, that 70 times seven. I want to share something with you about this 70 times seven. Peter said, Lord, how long or how often should I forgive seven times? Jesus said, No, until 70 times seven. Get a calculator. You pray for forgiveness and for mercy two or three times a day throughout a year, you'll use up this 70 times seven over and over again. And so what Jesus was saying, and I say thanks be unto God, that God's love is limitless, it's unbounding. As long as we're sincere, as long as we're genuine, as long as we'll repent, we can over and over come back to Him. We must not try Him to demonstrate that He can save us. We must not sin that grace may abound. We must strive and we must fight to overcome sin. But in spite of it all, we're going to be sinners. The Bible says, He that says he has no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. And so if you're trying to serve God, you're going to need that 70 times 7. And so these people here had repented and been baptized. That's when their robes were washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then they kept those robes white by praying and getting forgiveness and by being what God would have them to be. There are books written about the so-called the Great Tribulation. There's no such thing in the New Testament as the one singular the Great Tribulation. God's people have had tribulation since day one, since the church was started. And we're having some tribulation today, and you'll have some tribulation before this world is over. These people that seem to know so much about pre-trib, post-trib, all about tribulation, all about the millennium, they know all about the millennium and all about prophecy and don't understand and don't know how to tell somebody how to be saved according to the teachings of the Bible. They know all about the millennium, all about the tribulation, but they don't know to tell someone to be saved. They have to repent and to be baptized. They'll say, all you've got to do is to believe and receive Jesus and you're saved. Friends, if you don't do anything but sit back in your rocking chair and receive Jesus, and that's as far as it goes, you're going to have a surprise on the judgment day. Because my Bible says, your Bible says, faith without works is dead. The Bible says Abraham was justified by works, and so it takes works and faith. And as a matter of fact, I have said before, the doctrine of faith-only salvation is the ultimate in works salvation. If you claim that you can be saved by your faith, something you have, then you're saving yourself, and you can't save yourself. That faith must lead you to obey Christ and His gospel, and then that's what will save you. All right, the Bible says, when this great multitude came into vision, the question was asked, who are these people? The Bible says in Revelation 7:14, these are they which came out of great tribulation have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. My business is not to confuse you about Revelation. My business is to talk about the things you can hang your hat on, talk about the things that are plain, and not confuse people about all these technicalities. God will solve this. Man has not completely unraveled Revelation for 2,000 years, but then there's 2,000 or 3,000 every year that'll write a book, and they've got the answer, different from everybody else's answer. But we better settle on the understanding that salvation is through the blood. Jesus is our Savior. We're going to have trials and tribulation in this world. There's going to be upheavals. Keep our trust in God and we'll be saved. Let's be loyal to the Lord. Let's be faithful to the Lord's table. Let's be faithful in our prayer life. Let's be faithful in our stewardship. And all of this will be revealed to us someday. I heard there was three ways for a man to make a fool out of himself. One was to try to kiss a girl running away from him. One was to try to climb a tree leaning towards him. And another one was to write a commentary on Revelation. I'm not going to say we shouldn't write a commentary on Revelation, but it's wrong for someone to come up and say, well, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. We need to realize that God's right. We could all be wrong, but the point is, make sure we're under the blood and that we stay under the blood. Let's apply that principle to verse 14. Instead of going way out on a limb, let's just break it down here. The Bible says, this multitude which you saw, they're the ones that came out of great tribulation. I want to ask you, are you working to overcome the tribulation that comes to your life? You see, it's not just what it says here in Revelation, but apply what it says in Revelation. Apply the principle to your life. How about the tribulation that you're facing? Do you throw up your hands or do you try to drown it with a beer, a Budweiser or a Busch beer or some Russian vodka? Do you try to drown your troubles? Do you try to drown your tribulations? Do you try to hide from your tribulations? Or are you turning to Christ and let Christ help you overcome your tribulations? You can try to drown your tribulation on a drunken spree, but you'll get sober and you'll still have your tribulation. But Christ can help you overcome that tribulation. Then the Bible says, these people had washed their robes in the blood. Have you had your robe washed in the blood of Jesus? Have you been saved? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you done what God has told you to do? You better not worry about reading every book that somehow Lindsay writes. You better read the Bible that God wrote and obey it. And so the Bible says that these people were washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're the ones that had repented and been baptized. Verse 15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. If you want to make some kind of a personal, practical illustration of this to your life, if you will wear that white robe of purity, if you'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb one of these days, in spite of all of your troubles, you'll be able to sit in His presence and enjoy the redemption that He's offered. The Bible teaches the comfort and the solace that comes through Christ, for they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Regardless of the complexities of all of these passages, this is a glorious picture of success and wonderful hope and salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All right. Let's get ready to turn up the music. We're going to have to close for another time. Be tuned in next week. God bless you. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. And help us to be faithful unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.